thank you so much for being here today, and we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Will you pray with me? Our Father God in heaven, we are so thankful for the good blessings that you have given to us that you have given us life, you've given us breath, you've given us the opportunity to meet together in this morning and to be thoughtful of the revelation that you have given to your people. We are thankful, God, that you have communicated with us through the Bible, and that through this means we can come to know who you are, come to see your faithfulness to your people, and see your goodness and what it means to be your people. We pray, God, that as we study the book of Numbers this morning, that we will learn these things and that we will be blessed by our time together. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Okay. I am going to be translating for our brother a little bit in Spanish, so I hope that's not a distraction. We also have a class in the back that's going to be singing some kids' songs, and so we're all together. There will be a little bit of a distraction here, but I trust we all can be on board. So, bienvenidos a todos, gracias por su presencia. Welcome everyone, and thank you for your presence. Nosotros estamos en Números capítulo 9 hoy. We're in Numbers chapter 9 today. Numbers chapter 9. Números capítulo 9. Numbers chapter 9. Y si podemos recordar lo que hemos estudiado en el libro de Números, if we can remember a little bit about what we have read in the book of Numbers. Empezamos con la enumeración del pueblo. We began with the numbering of the people and talking about where they were camped. Y también en versículo capítulo 3 hablamos sobre la enumeración de los levitas y donde ellos estaban encampados. Chapter 3 and 4 also talked about the numbering of the people and where they were encamped. Pero la capítulo 5 y capítulo 6 habla sobre lo que es inmundo, the things that are unclean in chapter 5 and chapter 6. Y cómo debemos quitar esas cosas del campamento, and how we need to take these things out of the encampment. And then at the end, en el fin de capítulo 6, tenemos la bendición de Aarón. And then in chapter 6, at the very final part, we have this wonderful blessing of Aaron. Vamos a recordar entonces esta estructura en nuestro estudio. And I hope that we can remember this structure and how these things work out by the end of our time today. Capítulo 7, ya leímos capítulo 7 y también capítulo 8. We've already read chapter 7 and chapter 8. Capítulo 7 habla sobre la dedicación del pueblo. It talks about the dedication of the people. Todos los líderes vinieron con todas sus ofrendas y ofrecieron esto para el altar de Dios. All of the leaders of the people came and offered their offering before God and for this altar that they were going to be using. Y luego capítulo 8 habla sobre la dedicación de los levitas. Yo digo dedicación es como para limpiarlos. So the dedication of the Levites in chapter 8, I say dedication, but it's more like the cleansing of the Levites, preparing them for their service. Pero las palabras que nosotros utilizamos anteriormente fue, esta sección habla sobre la dirección y la dedicación del pueblo. So much of what we're seeing in these chapters is about the direction and the dedication of the people. Y son las lecciones que hemos aprendido también. And these are the lessons that we have learned from this as well. Ahora, nosotros estamos listos para capítulo 9 y 10. Now we are ready for chapter 9 and 10. Entonces vamos a estar leyendo acá. Capítulo 9, vamos a leer capítulo 9, versículo 1 hasta versículo 8. We'll read chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Lindsay, do you mind reading for us?
And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it." So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover in the first month, on the day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the people of Israel did. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, "We are unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Wait, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you."
Okay, versículo 1 hasta versículo 5 es algo muy sencillo. Verses 1 through 5 is something very, very simple. Habla sobre la Pascua. It talks about the Passover. Y estamos acostumbrados a la idea de la Pascua, ¿no? We're accustomed, we understand the idea of the Passover. La Pascua recordaba cuál cosa? What did the Passover remember? What was it for?
The 10th plague in Egypt.
Okay.
Where there was the firstborn that would die if they did not have the blood on the door.
Absolutely. And so, entonces habla sobre la el último plaga en que el primogénito de todas las familias iban a morir. But God saved them from this plague and saved them from the, this is also just talking about that this is the Exodus event. Entonces esto es, entonces la Dios les salvó de este evento, de esta plaga, pero también es habla sobre el evento de la del éxodo en sí. La Pascua recuerda la salvación de Dios. The Passover remembers the salvation of God. Y hay muchos, ¿cómo se llama? Muchas ideas que están involucradas en esta en esta fiesta. And so there is a lot of ideas that are involved in this feast. Pero yo creo que es muy especial porque en esta ocasión fue la primera vez que nosotros ahora estamos pensando sobre lo que había pasado. This is an interesting occurrence, though, of the Passover, because this is the first time that we're taking the Passover thinking about what's already happened. La primera vez fue cuando pasó la Pascua, cuando sobrepasó el ángel de la muerte. The first time that they took the Passover was the time they were in Egypt, and they were actually having the angel of death pass over each of their homes. Pero en esta ocasión, ellos están recordando, es una memorial de lo que había pasado. But in this occasion, this is remembering what had happened, what had already happened in the past, to remember God's salvation. Y esto será entonces la costumbre de los israelitas para toda su existencia. And this is going to be the custom, the tradition of the Israelites for the rest of the existence of the Israelites. Entonces, muy, muy importante esta Pascua. It's very, very important, this Passover. Muy importante porque esta Pascua define quiénes son ellos. This Passover defines who they are. Ellos son los redimidos. Ellos son los salvados. They are the redeemed ones. They are the saved ones por Dios. Entonces, muy importante esto. Pero es algo interesante porque en esta ocasión algo pasó y algunos no podían tomar de la Pascua. But something interesting on this occasion, though, some people were not able to take part in the Passover. ¿Quiénes no podían tomar de la Pascua? Who is it that couldn't take part in the Passover?
Those that touched dead bodies.
Okay. Es algo natural que a veces uno tiene que tocar entonces que un muerto. It's something that's natural, that sometimes if your relative dies or someone dies, you have to touch your relative. During this time, there were people dying, and so some people had touched dead bodies. It's not something sinful, but it was something that made them unclean. No era algo pecaminoso, pero sí es algo que le hicieron inmundo. Entonces, ellos tienen esa pregunta, ¿qué vamos a hacer? Now they have this question, what are we going to do about this? No parece que es justo que no vamos a tomar de la Pascua solamente porque hemos tocado un muerto. It doesn't seem like it's fair that we can't partake of the Passover just because we touched a dead body. Entonces, ¿qué dice Moisés? So what does Moses say in verse 8? ¿Qué dice Moisés en versículo 8?
I'll find out for you.
Yeah, voy a preguntar. I'm going to ask.
I think it is important. Yo creo que es importante ver la actitud de Moisés aquí. I think it's important to see the attitude of Moses here. Moisés no solo dijo, ah, bueno, yo pienso eso. Vamos a ver. He didn't just say, well, I think it should be like this. This seems right to me. Let's just see how it goes. No fue su actitud. ¿Y por qué? Porque está tratando con un Dios santo. Y no podemos tratarle a él como cualquier Dios. Why was this his attitude? It's because he was dealing with a holy God, not a God that is going to be treated just like any other God. This is not just a... Cuando nosotros adoramos a Dios, no lo hacemos para que nos sentimos mejores. We don't worship God just so that we feel better about ourselves. No adoramos a Dios porque así es nuestra costumbre. We don't worship God because that's just our tradition or that's just our custom. Adoramos a Dios porque Él es Dios, el Todopoderoso. We worship God because He is God. He is the all-powerful. Entonces, cuando adoramos a Él, tenemos que hacerlo en la forma que Él quiere. And when we worship Him, we have to do it in the way that He wants us to. Entonces, Moisés nos dice... Él dice, okay, vamos a ver, yo voy a platicar con Dios. And so Moses says what? Okay, we'll see what he says. I will go and I will talk with God. And this is what God says in versículo 9. Vamos a leer versículo 9 hasta versículo 14 ahora. We're going to read verses 9 to 14. Justin, do you mind reading that for us?
Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if any one of you or of your generations becomes unclean because of a dead person, is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord. In the second month of the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat none of it until morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statute of the Passover, they shall observe it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey, and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall then be cut off from his people, for he did not present the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man will bear his sin. If an alien sojourns among you and observes the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, so he shall do. You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land.
Entonces, ¿cuál es la ley de Dios en esta ocasión? What is God's thought here? What is God's direction here?
He gives them another time.
Here's another opportunity. Yeah, another opportunity. Es otra oportunidad. Exactamente un mes más tarde. And it's exactly 1 month after the first date, he's giving them another opportunity to partake in the Passover. Pero si alguien tiene un pretexto, un buen pretexto, entonces tiene esta oportunidad. If someone has a good excuse, he's traveling or he's touched a dead body, entonces aquí está la oportunidad. Here is your opportunity. Pero si alguien no sigue o si no hace la Pascua, ¿cuál es el resultado? But if someone does not observe the Passover as it is commanded, what is the result? It's sin and he is cut off from his people. Es pecado y está cortado del pueblo. Okay, es muy sencillo. Entonces las instrucciones acá podemos aprender, entenderlo. I think the instructions here, the observance of all this is very simple. Ahora la pregunta es, ¿qué aprendemos de esto? What is it that we learn from this? Elijah, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah. The term being cut off from the people, does that mean you're separate from the people? You're no longer Israelite? Would you be able to come back into the Israelites? Or what does that mean?
Yeah, so la pregunta es, entonces, ¿qué significa ser cortado del pueblo? What does it mean to be cut off from the people? Es un término que es utilizado con frecuencia en la ley. It's a term that is used frequently in the law of Moses. A veces me parece que tiene que ver entonces que hay un juicio que ejecuta el pueblo en sí. It seems that sometimes there is a justice or there is a
a justice, a something that, that the people itself will do to cut off this person. And so in other words, that maybe he'll be stoned or maybe he'll be cast out. There's something that the people do. En muchas ocasiones, sin embargo, muchas veces es parece que es Dios en sí que hace este cortar. But in other occasions, it seems like it's God himself that does the cutting off of this person. Entonces, no sé que todo, en toda ocasión, si es el pueblo o si es Dios en sí, pero es la idea que está cortado. But I don't know if it's always the God is who's doing this or is the people, but it's that is the idea. Yes?
In verse 12, they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. What bones? Which bones?
The bones of the Passover lamb. Yeah. And so, entonces la pregunta en versículo 12 está hablando sobre que los huesos de qué, no hay que quebrar los huesos. This goes back to the first Passover. You're not to break any of the bones. You're not to leave any of it till the morning. Aún en la primera Pascua había que comer todo el cordero y no quebrar ninguno de los huesos. Y yo pienso que tiene algo que, uno, tiene algo que ver con la manera en que ellos tienen que comerlo. Tienen que comerlo rápido porque van a salir de Egipto. And I think that part of this has to do with the idea that in the first Passover, they are having to leave Egypt. They are having to go quickly from Egypt. And part of this is they're showing their faith that God is going to save them from Egypt. And so they have to eat it quickly, and they have to break no bones. It's just you roast the whole thing. That's part of taking the Passover. También, tal vez también tiene que ver entonces con el sacrificio de Jesús en la cruz. And I think also just thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus. No había ningún hueso que fue quebrado. There was no bone that was broken on the cross. Y definitivamente que Dios, Jesús es nuestra Pascua, and Jesus is our Passover feast. Entonces, hay mucha conexión entre el Antiguo Testamento y el Nuevo Testamento en este aspecto. And so there's a lot of connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament here. Pero es buena pregunta, a good question. Otra pregunta, observación. ¿Cuál es la cosa que nosotros aprendemos de todo esto? What can we say about this now? If there's any comment or question, that's great. But what is it that we can learn about this observance? ¿Qué podemos aprender de Dios? ¿Qué podemos aprender de nosotros? What is it that we can learn about God himself? And what is it that we can learn about us? Lindsay?
It really stands out to me how when these men come forward saying, like, why can't we be a part of the Passover, how men can easily make it a matter of, like, well, here are the rules for this, and here are the rules for this. And while those are present, the Lord very clearly goes to the heart of the matter, where he gives them the rules. He gives them, this is what I want you to do. But then he also specifies, it makes a difference what your desire is. So these men legitimately wanted to be a part of the feast, but they accidentally couldn't.
Okay.
But the Lord makes it very clear, this is not an allowance for you to just kind of decide, well, this month is better for me than the other, and there's not a desire to be a part of it. It's not the accidental non-ability of uh-huh. to take part. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so we can see, just adding on to that, we can see the fairness of God, the mercy of God, but then he's merciful toward those who are really trying to do his will. Entonces, ¿qué podemos ver? Entonces, la misericordia de Dios, podemos ver la justicia de Dios, pero también está mostrando su misericordia hacia las personas que en realidad están tratando de hacer la voluntad de Dios. No es que están solamente, no quiero ir en este mes, en la próxima. It's not just that they're saying, I don't want to go this time. I'll go next month. Eso no es la idea. That's not the idea. Esto es la misericordia de Dios. This is the mercy of God. ¿Qué más podemos ver? What else can we see? Dave?
I think God wants us to remember what he's done for us and, you know, also which indicates what he will continue to do for us.
Okay.
As we continue to be obedient to him and also for us, you know, looking for obedient hearts, but also part of that is, you know, being willing to reflect on what God has done for the purposes of and valuing our relationship and walk with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Dios quiere que nosotros recordemos lo que Él ha hecho por nosotros. Y esto es algo muy importante para Él. In fact, it's so important to Him that if you don't participate in this, you will be cut off. That's pretty strict. God wants us to remember what He has done. Dios quiere que nos... Es muy estricto Dios en este sentido. Hay misericordia, pero también es muy estricto en ese sentido. Él quiere que los israelitas recordaran lo que Dios había hecho. God wanted them to remember this. And so while he shows mercy, but it also says, you better not forget this. You come back and you remember this. Es una bendición recordar esto. It's a blessing to be able to participate in this. Pero también es algo que Dios dice, es parte de nuestra relación. But it's something that God is saying, this is part of our relationship. Si nosotros queremos continuar en esa relación, no es algo que solamente podemos olvidar. If we are going to continue in this relationship, it's not just something that we can just forget. Yo creo que entonces hay tal vez entonces algunas aplicaciones que podemos entonces hacer con la cena del Señor también. Maybe we could make the same observations about the Lord's Supper as well. La cena del Señor es una bendición de Dios para recordar lo que Dios había hecho en la cruz. It is something that God has done. It's a blessing to be able to come together and to be able to participate in this meal and have fellowship, remembering what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Pero también es un mandamiento de Dios. But it's also, it is a commandment of God. Y si nosotros queremos continuar en esa relación, debemos continuar también recordando cómo fue mandado por Dios. If we want to continue in this relationship, then we have to remember what God has done in this memorial. Okay. Algo más que ustedes pueden ver. Lindsay.
Well, I also wanted to point out at the very end how beautiful I find it that God then tags along the thought of anyone can join. Anyone can be a part of this who wants to follow it in the way that I have specified. It's open for the strangers to join in.
Sí, sí. So Lindsay dice entonces que es muy bonito en versículo 14 que muestra cómo es que Dios permite que aun los extranjeros pueden llegar a tomar parte en este sacrificio, en esta fiesta. I always think of the Passover as a only Jewish thing. But even if a sojourner is there with you, then he can partake of it as well. Pero aun si, usualmente yo pienso sobre la Pascua siendo que algo de los judíos, y si es. Pero también, entonces, si el extranjero está entre los judíos, él también puede participar. Otra vez, la misericordia de Dios. Again, we have the mercy of God. Entonces, es una bendición grande. It's a wonderful blessing. ¿Cuál es la lección más grande? What is the bigger lesson para el libro de Números, for the book of Numbers, though? Yo creo que también cuando nosotros estamos pensando sobre este libro y esta sección de este libro, estamos hablando sobre dirección y dedicación. When we're talking about this section of the book of Numbers, we've been talking about the ideas of direction and dedication. Capítulo 9, cuando hablamos sobre la Pascua, recordar lo que hizo Dios no es algo que nos da dirección y dedicación. Remembering what God has done in the past, isn't that something that gives us dedication and direction for the future? Es lo mismo con la Pascua, con la Cena del Señor. Cuando nosotros observamos la Cena del Señor, es para recordarnos lo que debemos hacer en el futuro también. But it's also with when the Lord's Supper, just making a connection with the Lord's Supper, what is the Lord's Supper for? It's to rededicate ourselves. To remember what Jesus has done and say, we need to do things differently. We need to rededicate ourselves. We need to focus on what he has done. And so it gives us direction even for the future.
muchas cosas que podríamos decir más sobre esta sección. There's a lot of other things that we could say about this section. Pero quiero entonces avanzar un poco en versículo 15 ahora. I want to go further in verse 15. Vamos a leer entonces versículo 15 hasta el final del capítulo. 15 hasta versículo 23. We're going to read the rest of this chapter starting in verse 15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Now whenever the cloud would go up from over the tent, afterwards the sons of Israel would then set out, and in place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of Yahweh, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of Yahweh, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the charge of Yahweh and would not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of Yahweh, they remained camped. Then, according to the command of Yahweh, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained even from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted up in the morning, they would move out. And if it remained in the daytime, at the night, whenever the cloud was lifted up, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, dwelling above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they set out. At the command of Yahweh, they camped. And at the command of Yahweh, they set out. And they kept the charge of Yahweh according to the command of Yahweh by the hand of Moses. ¿Es claro? Is it clear? Yo espero que con toda esa repetición es algo claro. I hope that with all the repetition of how many times we've said the same thing, that it's become very clear to us. Y no tengo que repetirlo otra vez, and I don't have to repeat it again. Pero cuando sube entonces la nube, vamos. Muy sencillo, ¿no? When the cloud is lifted, we go. It's very, very simple. Cuando baja la nube, entonces hacemos nuestro campamento. And when the cloud comes down in a certain place, entonces then we make up camp. Pero es muy interesante. Es algo muy claro, es muy sencillo, pero es muy interesante pensar en esto. It's something that's very simple, it's very, but it's really interesting to think about this cloud. Usualmente cuando nosotros hablamos sobre, cuando dibujamos el tabernáculo, usually when someone draws out the tabernacle, es una cosa que no pensamos sobre esto. It's usually when someone draws the tabernacle, they don't think about this idea of the of there being some type of, you see, in este dibujo no hay ningún nube. And so in this drawing, for example, there's no cloud of fire, there's no cloud of pillar of cloud. Pero de lo que podemos entender de este capítulo y también de Éxodo capítulo 40, siempre estaba ahí cuando estaban acampados. But from what we can read in this chapter, and also in Exodus chapter 40, this is not a new idea, but in Exodus chapter 40, this pillar of cloud was always there over the tabernacle. This pillar of fire at night was always over this tabernacle. Y sería algo increíble, un recuerdo continuo de la presencia de Dios. It would be something incredible, a continual remembrance of the presence of God. Es increíble, ¿no? That's incredible. Aún más increíble que los judíos, los israelitas, pueden olvidar quién es Dios con este recuerdo tan increíble. It's even more incredible that the people of God could forget who God is with this continual remembrance. There is God. Pero como todas las cosas, cuando nosotros miramos una cosa día tras día, tal vez entonces olvidamos la importancia de esta cosa. But maybe with everything that we see every single day, just like everything, if we see something every day, we kind of forget the importance. We take things for granted, and maybe that's the idea.
Pero tenemos esta idea que ellos van a salir y ellos van a seguir el acampando y moviendo en pos de Dios. They are going to be walking and camping and then walking, following the cloud of God. Me gusta mucho el último versículo. I love verse 23 that summarizes the thought and also the application of all of this. Nos da entonces el pensamiento, pero también la aplicación. At the command of Yahweh, they camped. At the command of Yahweh, they set out. And they kept the charge of Yahweh according to the command of Yahweh by the hand of Moses. It was a very graphical way, a very physical way, that they could obey God and just do whatever he says. Es una manera muy gráfica, muy física, que ellos sencillamente podrían hacer lo que sea la voluntad de Dios. Could you imagine this? ¿Puede imaginarse esto? Al venir entonces al campamento, está ahí por 2 días. You come and you camp out for 2 days. Empieza a buscar, entonces, necesito una roca aquí para mi tienda, necesito, hay un poco de un palo aquí, entonces también para mi tienda. You get here, you get to this new place, and say, here's a rock I can use for my camp. Oh, this is going to be nice. I have a stick right here that in this new place that I can use this for my for my tent. Pero después de 2 días, vamos. But after 2 days, let's go. Y vez tras vez, sería algo frustrante, ¿no? And if this happens time after time, would that be something that's kind of frustrating? Nunca puede sentir cómodo en ningún lugar, en ningún momento. You never can feel comfortable in any place at any time. Eso sería muy difícil, ¿no? That would be really difficult. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Entonces, esto no iba a durar por mucho tiempo si ellos podrían obedecer a Dios y no tener una falta de fe en las promesas de Dios más tarde. Iba solamente tomar que 11 días. What our sisters are saying is that this wouldn't have been a situation they would have to go through for very, very long if they would just obey God. This was a Deuteronomy says it was going to be an 11-day journey. And so this is something that should have been taking... you're not going to be here for a long time. But because of their sin, because of their lack of faith, they were going to be in the desert for 40 years.
And it's also really an act of necessity. Out in the desert, I mean, if the clouds clear, maybe now's the time to move. Find somewhere where there might be more clouds.
Okay.
The humidity really, it's survival.
Okay.
And so when they're saying they kept the charge of the Lord and had the command of the Lord by Moses, it's almost like they're interpreting the weather as a command from God that they can leave because they are now able to survive somewhere else.
Yeah. Necessity. It is definitely not just a cloud of just happens to settle on the tabernacle each time. This is a miraculous event is what is going on. And so this is a miraculous event that shows us, here's the power of God. And they have to walk, and this is that they are receiving manna from God every single day. That's not a natural thing that's coming upon them.
Grain does travel through the wind. And the manna they describe is something like a seed.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of spread out.
Yes.
The sand and the rock, right?
So it's a manna that comes every day, double on the sixth day, never comes on the seventh day.
Yeah, wind patterns can do that.
Not consistently like that. I think that's...
Of course, in a certain area, that can certainly happen.
Yeah. So I think there's... What the scriptures are definitely saying, this is something that's miraculous.
Because it happens naturally, it doesn't make it miraculous.
No, but this was something that was miraculous. So this is...
Miraculous.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
So miraculous things, typically when we talk about miracles, they are things that are outside of the normal things of nature.
Does it say it's a miracle in the text itself?
Well, this is, that doesn't use the word miracle, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's from God, right?
Uh-huh.
But
it's not natural. It's not natural. So the occurrence here is going to be something that is just consistently outside of nature. In fact, they go out on the seventh day looking for the manna, and it's not there. It should be there. If it's a natural thing, it should be there every day. But this is something, the constant, let me finish. The constant message throughout the book of Numbers is that this is something, this is the act of God, this is the hand of God. And so either we can doubt the scriptures and just say that, well, they didn't know what they were talking about, or we write a new story. So this is what they are doing here. This is an act of God. Es un hecho de Dios que él está cuidando a su pueblo. Every day God was giving them this special food until they finally get to the land of promise, and then it all of a sudden stops. And so there is this the message of the Bible.
But what I'm saying is that they came out of Egypt, and then the manna started coming as they entered a new area. So it really could be completely natural for grain to be distributed like that across the desert.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's kind of.
Have you studied Middle Eastern climate or?
I have not. But they were attuned to things like this, and they understood that this was not something that was normally happening. This was God giving them bread.
They were in the new area,
and they were complaining that there was no bread. Where is the bread? We don't have any food. And so God gave them food. And so they understood that this was God acting, and that every 6 days they would have plenty of food. God gave them those for every 6 days. But then on the seventh day, it was so different. It's such clockwork that nature does not show.
God gives us food every single day.
Not like this. This is a miraculous giving of food.
In the Bible, it doesn't specifically say that. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that Jesus does miracles that it doesn't actually say it was a miracle.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just
and so the word miracle does not have to appear. We can continue this conversation.
We can
continue this conversation later. But the message of the Bible, and if we're going to accept the message of the Bible, is that this is a miraculous gift. This is a spiritual food that comes from God, that was something that they had never seen before. They say manna. What is this? Is what manna means. And so manna is not in this chapter. And so it really what's in this chapter is this cloud covering that, again, the commandment is God is going to lift up this cloud that came particularly when the tabernacle was dedicated to God, Exodus chapter 40, and it stayed over this, and it turned into a fire by night. Again, this is not something natural. But then finally, when it did lift up, you follow the commandments of God. So every time that it moves, we follow God. Hay una aplicación muy grande en todo eso. There is an application that's huge for us in all of this. Que nosotros debemos continuar observando los mandamientos de Dios, y cuando Dios habla, nosotros obedecemos. Oh, Wilmer, está aquí. Wilmer is my translator, so he just got here, so I'll speak in English now. But there's a huge application for us in this. The attitude that a child of God needs to have is that when God speaks, when God directs, what is our response? Go. Just, there's no questions asked. In fact, if you start asking questions, why only 2 days? Wait, why only 3 days? What's going to happen to the camp? They're gone. And you're left in the desert all by yourself. And you are going to be having to fend for yourself. This is something that is vital for you walking with God. The other day, I was talking with a brother in Kansas about this idea that Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. It's such a beautiful terminology, a beautiful idea that ought to be a description of who we are. We are people, we are Christians who walk with God. We are listening to him. And as soon as he tells us to do something, we do it because it's God. And now this, the Israelites give us this beautiful, beautiful illustration of how it is to walk with God. God goes, he leads me, I will follow. Okay. Any thoughts about this section up to verse 23? Lindsay?
Well, I'm just thinking about it, especially like with the picture here, that just kind of, it gives an idea of what it would be like to have the camp set up as a bullseye and having this tabernacle in the middle and having this cloud and this fire that is a demonstration of the presence of God only on the tabernacle. And so to have this group of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and God is doing everything in his responsibility and power to keep their eyes open. But it's their choice. Mm-hmm. They get to choose to camp facing him. They get to choose whether they follow him. Like, they get to choose whether they actually see him for who he is. Or, I mean, even with him right in front of them,
yeah,
the people still choose.
Yeah.
Like, that just kind of boggles my mind. But just to see how he is laying this all out and making it as clear as possible.
Yeah.
And as powerful.
Yeah. That's an interesting observation to say that here is God and he is making himself so obvious in obvious ways. There's no doubting of his presence right there. But then it's also, obviously, the Israelites have a choice whether to follow him or not. And this is very encouraging to see that the Israelites on this occasion, they follow the command of Yahweh. When he says, let's go, they keep on going. That's a good observation. Any other thoughts? I think, any other thoughts before we... The next section, and maybe what we'll do is we'll just look at the first 10 verses where it talks about these silver trumpets. Let's read chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Nick, do you mind reading that for us?
Sure. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the heads of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be to you for perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who opposes you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God.
Okay, so Moses asks them to make these two trumpets that are made out of silver. Hammer these trumpets, and these trumpets are going to have their specific purposes, and particularly to call people together. There are different ways that you blow the trumpet, and it does different things. And so, again, just simple, almost like just very practical instructions that are given here. You have both trumpets that are blown, everybody get to the door where the tent of meeting. If only one, then the leaders come. If you blow an alarm out Judah, blow an alarm a second time, then you're going to take Reuben and the tents that are on to the south. And so it's a way that God, in a very practical way, is going to allow his people to call attention to what they need to be doing. when they go to war as well. Blow these trumpets. And then the adversaries, when they attack you. Something interesting, though, in verse 9, the priests are going to be blowing these trumpets. And what is the purpose of blowing these trumpets in verse 9? That the Lord would remember them. You know, I was thinking that it was going to be, okay, blow the trumpet so that you can all kind of, you know, it's the Calvary, go! Everybody needs to, but instead it is for what purpose? That God would remember them. And so in other words, blowing these trumpets is almost like a what? An act of faith. Calling on God's help in this occasion with these adversaries, with these enemies. And so it's almost like here's this prayer to God. Remember your people as we go to war. Remember your people as we go into battle. It's a really amazing idea, and part of something that ought to be in our prayers as well. Lord, remember me. Remember me when I am in trouble. Remember me when I have difficulties. Also in verse 10, we have the same thing. In your appointed feast on the first day of the month. So every first day of the month, you're going to be blowing these trumpets. You should also blow the trumpets then at the burnt offering over the sacrifice of the peace offerings. So that what? So they will be a remembrance of you before God. It's not just for the people, but it's something for God. Now, are we thinking that God is literally going to forget that his people are? No, that's not the point at all. But this is a way for them to very physically call upon the name of the Lord. God knows where we are, even if we pray to him or if we don't pray to him. But God wants us to pray to him. God knows what our needs are before we even confess what our needs are, right? But he wants us to confess our needs and tell him our needs and have that as a relationship. Lord, we need you now. And on these moments where they are lifting up on those days, even those days of gladness, receive this memorial from us, O Lord. And I love the way it ends in verse 10. I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh your God. Expresses something about the relationship that these people have, a relationship that where they are being directed by God, and they're also directing the attention of God to themselves. So again, going back to these ideas of dedication and direction, and I think that's what we'll see in the rest of the chapter as well. I think this is a good place though for us to go ahead and pause. And we'll leave verse 11 to the rest of the chapter for next time. And Justin, when he gets back, he can finish up the chapter. But thank you, everyone, for your comments and your questions. And we'll go ahead and in about 10 minutes or so, we'll come back again and be ready for the assembly. So thank you.